And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, remember years ago, and I think, Gwen, on your computer, I still hear this at the office, and it brings back a lot of memories when we first got email. And you know, you'd be working along on your computer, and then you would hear this little voice, "You got mail." Well, back then it was kind of exciting, right? Now we get so inundated with emails, it's like, I don't really want another email right now. But you've got mail. And it was so incredible how instantly you could get mail. It was no longer snail mail. It was going to take several days from sending a message for somebody else receiving it. But it was so incredible when that first happened that it's instantaneous messaging through email. You've got mail. And certainly that turned into the title of a romantic movie, right? And it's one of Lindy's and my favorite. You've got mail. Well, think about this morning and the words that we hear from heaven, the words that we hear right in our presence here, because our Lord Jesus Christ is with us always, wherever we are, as his precious people, he is with us. And he comes to you and me with this incredible instantaneous message. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you believe that? That's quite a message, isn't it? And it's instantaneously given. Every time we open the Bible, God instantly is speaking to you and me. And so this morning, when we think about email, we think about snail mail, you think about Gmail, we got all these mails, but I'd like you to think of God's Word as God's mail, God mail. And every time we open the Bible, we have God mail. It's God directly communicating with you and me. And Jesus, certainly, as fully God and fully man, the second person of the Trinity, who chose to come to earth to deliver us from our heavy burden, the greatest one being sin and the condemnation that comes with sin, not only physical death, but eternal condemnation in hell. He comes and he declares clearly his credentials. In other words, Jesus wants us to know without a doubt what he speaks is God's word, even though as we follow the Gospels, Jesus in his two natures as true man and true God, fully both, he speaks from each of those different natures. And so as true man, Jesus announces this incredible message, and it's in the Gospel reading this morning. All things have been handed over to me. Think about that. As true man, Jesus declaring, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's authority, right? You think of Matthew 28, right before Jesus ascends into heaven. Again, Jesus speaks with that authority and says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus openly declaring, I have the credentials, I am who I claim to be. And isn't it really awesome that there he proved it fully? He died, he rose again victoriously from the grave, and just prior to ascending into heaven, Jesus says, I have all authority, and I'm giving this authority to you. Now go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go and spread this incredible instantaneous message of my word, Jesus says, that I've shared with you. And so God chooses to communicate with us through his inerrant word, the Holy Bible. And sadly, even within the visible Christian church today, there is a huge number of church bodies that deny the Bible to be that very thing. They say, oh yeah, the Bible contains the word of God, but it is not the Word of God. And that gets really scary, because then who's going to determine, as you open Scripture, okay, there's something God says to me that kind of pricks my conscience. I don't like that. So that's probably not His Word. I'll just throw that out. See, that gives us the authority to do that if we relinquish to saying that God's Word just, or the Bible just contains. Well, praise God, as members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our confession states over and over and over again that the Holy Bible is the inerrant Word of God. As God has revealed Himself, and as He gives that credential to His own Word. You know, if you have your sermon notes, this passage would be a little confusing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but it's a beautiful endorsement by Jesus of the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books. As you read through the Gospels, Jesus endorses the entire Old Testament as being God's Word. But in Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees and other leaders in the church, the scribes, were there, and they were confronting Jesus, and Jesus confronted them on their traditions. And He talked about this korban, which was an offering, and so people were giving this korban offering to the church of the day, and then that freed them from having to take care of their parents. And so Jesus calls them on the carpet about this, about their tradition, and He quotes to them the fourth commandment from the book of Exodus. And Jesus said, Moses said, but you say, and then here's what Jesus concludes this with. Thus you nullify the Word of God. You nullify the Word of God by your tradition. And so Jesus, quoting from the Pentateuch, and then coming back and saying to them, you're nullifying the Word of God. What has Jesus just done? He has fully proclaimed that the words that Moses spoke is God's inerrant Word. And then we go to the New Testament. It's all over the place where the Word affirms itself. God affirms His New Testament scriptures as well. One that I have in your notes, if you have them, 1 Thessalonians. When you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, Paul is speaking these words as God inspired them. When you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God. And so all over Scripture, God endorses His own Word. And that's so important, and praise God that He does this. So that when we open the Bible, when we open the Holy Scriptures, we can open God's Word with confidence. Yes, these words were written by men, but we know that God inspired what was written. And we could go on and on just about how God has preserved His Word. It's just so cool and miraculous over the many centuries that this Word was never lost. That's only a God thing that can have that happen. And then I think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know, that all of Scripture is God-breathed. That all of Scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable for reproof and correction and fully equipping us. And so even by the actions that happen through hearing God's Word, the Lord gives testimony of His Word's credential. And why do I spend so much time there this morning? Because I think it's hard for us sometimes to really grab a hold of this God mail that we receive today, if you will. Come to me. Jesus Himself saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We can absolutely trust that. Jesus has given His credentials in saying that, and He's given the written words credential. And what's really cool is that we're in the address system of God. Isn't that awesome? You ever thought about that? God has your address. Come to me, all. The Lord offers this to the world. Come to me, all. But then He refines it, doesn't He? Come to me, all who, And there's the specific address in this message, who are weary and who are greatly burdened. And then, of course, his promise, I will give you rest. And so, without doubt, we should include ourselves in this message. To not think, oh God, you've got to give me a clearer message. You've got to somehow else affirm to me that you're really speaking to my heart. We don't need it. The Lord says it right here. Come to me, all who. And what's interesting, though, is that he's directing it to sinful souls, like the Apostle Paul. That was a fun epistle reading, wasn't it, Kent? Boy, that's a real tongue twister. But in Romans 7, where that comes from, you can just see the turmoil in Paul's heart. It's the battle going on between saint and sinner within us. Have you ever felt that battle? I feel it every day. And it's such a testimony of the reality that we do have that person of faith within us. In other words, there wouldn't be anybody to fight with, right? It'd just be our sinful flesh. And so, as frustrating as this battle can be, that's why Jesus comes to us with these beautiful words. So, for those who do not believe, you know, that's meaningless. It's like, I've got my life together. In fact, if you receive God mail as an unbeliever, that you think you've got it all together in your life, don't need God, where's God's mail going to go? It's going to go into junk mail, right? And I think of King Jehoiakim. We talked about him a few weeks ago with in the context of the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Remember that? And remember, Jeremiah brings mail, God mail, to Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim looks at that, and of course, God was confronting the king of Judah in his sinful condition and the nation as well. And Jehoiakim said, well, that's what I think of this message. And he just starts ripping up the scroll. And he had a fire pot burning, and he just started throwing the pieces of the scroll into the fire. That's junk mail to King Jehoiakim. And you know, the mess that the United States of America is in, even as we celebrate another year of independence and praise God again for the blessings of living in this land. But we got problems. We got major problems. And the reason for that, I believe, is because the majority of our citizenship gets God mail and it just goes in the junk mail. I don't want anything to do with God. I'm my self-made person. It's kind of like, remember the Pharisee in the temple? It's in Luke chapter 18, and Jesus tells this parable, and the Pharisee and the tax collector come into the temple to pray. And remember, the Pharisee is over on one side of the room in the temple, and, oh God, I'm just so wonderful, God, and you know, I haven't done anything against you. And I can even read the exact quote. It's kind of interesting what he says. He says by himself, he prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Well, that's rather interesting. I thank you I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now, do you think that that individual, Jesus comes to him and says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened? That would make no sense. Jesus, I don't need you. That goes in junk mail. I got it all together. But sadly, that's where the hearts of a lot of people are today. And dare I say, sometimes in our arrogance and pride, maybe we also go down that road a little bit. Maybe a lot of bit. Have you ever taken God's word and treated it like junk mail? Where does junk mail go, by the way? If you don't have time to go through all your mail, you just kind of toss the junk mail in one pile, right? And then, I don't have time to deal with that, so it just kind of stacks up and sits there. It's never read. Do we ever do that with God's Word? Just kind of gets put off on a shelf somewhere, and there's lots of other more important things, God, in my life right now. I just really don't need to hear from you right now. Gets us into all kinds of trouble, doesn't it? But one who is weary and heavy burdened is one that is like David in Psalm 51. You know, just so burdened with guilt, so burdened with the heavy load of sin, and David had committed murder and adultery, and he humbly comes to God, seeking God's forgiveness and deliverance. Boy, I tell you, when you're in that condition as we are as sinners, when we're poor and lost and ruined and burdened and seeking deliverance, suddenly that God mail is really important, isn't it? I think of the other one in the temple in that parable, the tax collector. What we hear of the tax collector from Jesus' account, the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't give any credentials, because he had none. He knew that his only hope was in God's mercy. You know, it's really cool when Jesus concludes that parable. He asks, who do you think left the temple righteous? And of course, it was the tax collector. The one just so heavily burdened with sin and guilt and knew it. Come to me, all who? I think of Martin Luther. You know, did you know that he got a law degree? That's what he was going to do, he was going to be a lawyer. God was really preparing him for the debating he would get into theologically later. But Luther would actually beat himself. He would do all kinds of personal pain and torment to his body, thinking that somehow that would help get rid of the burden of guilt and sin. And then a guy by, I can't wait to meet Father Staupitz, but he came to Luther and revealed the gospel. And a huge burden was lifted off of Luther's life. In Thursday morning men's Bible class, we've been watching a video. And by the way, fully encourage everybody to watch this. You can find it on Netflix. If you can't find it, I have the DVD, but it's called American Gospel. But anyway, one of the people they were interviewing in this, a fairly young guy, probably in his late 30s, somewhere in there, and he said, you know, I had it all. I had every toy you could imagine. I was not in want for any money. I was healthy, and I was just at the top of my game in life. But he said, it still did not remove the turmoil in my soul. I could not find peace. Guess where he found peace? Actually, peace found him. As God's mail, his word came to this individual, and his life was changed forever. And so today, in God, the God mail being sent to you and me, right now as we hear it from God's word, Jesus says, I will give you rest. He doesn't say, I will give you rest if... And he doesn't say, I will give you rest, but there's no list of things that we have to do because there's nothing we can do. The Lord has done it all. And so he lays this rest upon us. Did you hear it in the Zechariah this morning, the Old Testament reading? Boy, talk about good news. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Again, God giving the credentials of his son, whom he is sending. And unlike any other human being on the face of the earth, none of us can make this claim by our own means. He is righteous. And he is salvation. There is no other. It's only Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, we hear the incredible burden that the Lord took upon himself. See, this didn't just go away. God didn't just click his fingers and say, oh, sin, that was a bad thing. I'll just click my fingers, it's gone. No, it had to be dealt with. And it was dealt with God's own son taking the burden. In Isaiah 53, surely he, which is a reference to the Messiah, the anointed one, Jesus Christ, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Again, God giving us the credentials of his Son. He is righteous perfectly. He is salvation, and he is the only one that could do it, and he's done it. He's carried our burdens. And in John chapter 19, we hear how Jesus went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Jesus bore the greatest burden that could ever be borne. He carried that cross and he died upon it. He laid his life down upon it. The good news, right? That here is how the Lord chose to remove this burden, by taking upon himself. Remember early in Jesus' ministry, right after his baptism, John the Baptist was in the crowd and Jesus was over there and he said, "Oh, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Takes away the sin of the world. And it's historical, guys. Jesus has done this. We're living in the good news of this if we listen to the God mail, because God sends it to the world, doesn't force it on anyone, but offers it to everyone. And it's here where we find peace. It's not in toys. It's not in abundant and great perfect health. It's not in all of the things of the world, and COVID has certainly revealed that to us. But in John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. My peace I give to you." And so Jesus is speaking of a much greater peace than just physical peace. Boy, wouldn't it be great if all the rioting and all the turmoil in the United States of America just ended and we could go out and just have normal conversation with anyone, even if we were on different sides of the issue, but we could sincerely respect and love each other in the conversation? That would be worldly peace. But we don't have it. In fact, it's really never existed, has it, since sin. But this is peace within. This is peace where you can be a soldier on the front lines of battle and you are being shot and you are dying, but within you are totally at peace because you know God's love, you know his forgiveness, and you know you're going to be with him in glory very soon. It's so unlike the world's peace. And so the Lord offers it. And then Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Think about the Apostle Paul going through the turmoil of the battle. "God, I'm trying, and yet the harder I try, it seems like the worst I fall in my sin, and I'm thinking I'm not going to do that again, and then very next day I'm doing it again. What a wretched man I am." Remember Paul's question? Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me from this? And then, of course, his glorious answer, right? "Thanks be to Jesus Christ, my Lord." He is the one. And so the yoke that the Lord gives us, you think of yoke that were put on oxen, and man, that was a heavy burden. And Jesus talks about the yoke of the law, and especially all those traditions that the Pharisees and scribes invented that God never intended. And they're just burdened with this heavy yoke. But the Lord talks about another yoke. "My yoke is gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Isn't that cool? You will find rest for your souls. Martin Luther writes about the yoke. "The yoke that Christ lays upon us is sweet, and his burden is light. When sin has been forgiven and the conscience has been liberated from the burden and the sting of sin, then a Christian can bear everything easily, because everything within is sweet and pleasant. He willingly does and suffers everything." Oh, spiritual rest, tranquility in our souls. We are ease of mind. We have peace of conscience. We're free from fear. There's a lot of fear today, but we're free from fear as God's people. We live in communion with Him. You've got mail. It's either sitting on your desk at home, you can pull it up on your phone. Boy, God's made His Word accessible in so many different ways. But you've got mail. In Jesus' name, with His credentials and the Word that He speaks, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.